T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Saturday morning on 94 WIP, and a very odd Saturday morning it is, based on news that came out yesterday late afternoon. Good morning, Ray. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Cranky.
Oh, sorry.
Angry. Grumpy. Ready to rant, Ray. Ready to rant.
Oh, go, well, don't let me stand in your way.
Well, I'm going to. I tell you what, let me set this up. I'll go to you, and then I'll start spewing nonsense for the next 3 hours, if that's okay.
Perfectly fine with me.
All right. Well, so, background. NFL set up its COVID-19 protocols during the summer. They were quite public with it. If a team is missing players because unvaccinated players brought COVID onto the team, said team would either round up bodies to play as best it could, or it would forfeit the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what has happened in Washington, where the football team is one of just two in the league with more than 5% of players unvaccinated, refusing to get vaxxed. Montez Sweat, who spoke out against the vaccine early in the year, was the first to contract it in this most recent situation. And then the entire defensive line, who were in meetings with him, then they all got it.
Mm-hmm.
Then about two dozen players on the on Washington got it, including the starting quarterback Tyler Heinicke and his backup, whose name I cannot recall or care to.
Montez Sweat.
Thank you. Yeah. Montez Sweat was the first, the guy, the patient zero, brought it onto the team. This is something, by the way, his own coach, Ron Rivera, who is recovering from cancer, recovering cancer patient, warned about. And now you've got two dozen guys in protocol. So, one more time, Ray. The league declared no postponements this year. Play the game, round up guys, or you forfeit. This is why they had expanded practice squads. This is why every team's supposed to have enough players to play regardless. But yesterday, as I was sitting down at my desk to prepare Sunday's pregame show, the league postponed the Eagles-Washington game until Tuesday, a favor certainly to Washington. By the way, they did it in another game in the league as well. They pushed a couple things around. And a punch to the jaw of your Philadelphia Eagles, of their playoff chances, and to their fans. Currently, the Eagles will have to play their next game, week 16, against the Giants on 4 days' rest. Maybe that's going to move a day, but it still forces them to play 3 division games in 13 days as they are aiming for the playoffs. Ray, player safety, big priority.
Mm-hmm. So Roger says.
Yeah. All right, two more sentences, and then I'll throw it to you. We all know what happens around here with Tuesday night football. Ha, ha, ha. They are trying to get a wild card spot. Playing on Tuesday and then turning around and playing a short week, which increases the chance of injury, hurts your chances of winning. The league took Washington's problems and basically said, hey, Eagles, these are your problems. Ray Dinger, a lonely nation turns its eyes to you.
Well, I mean, you set it up pretty well. I mean, that's really kind of the situation that was dropped in the Eagles' lap yesterday. And I think it's very unfair. I think they got shafted by the league. I think it's another manifestation how pathetically weak this commissioner is. It's no secret how I feel about Roger. I've felt that way pretty much ever since he took office. But this is just another example of how he will talk a good game, and then when it comes right down to it, he doesn't have the follow through. It's what the way he laid it out was. It was pretty clear. I mean, if you heard his statements when back in the summertime, when he said that if a game can't be rescheduled and is canceled due to a COVID outbreak among non-vaccinated players on one of the competing teams, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and will be deemed to have played 16 games for the purposes of draft, waiver priority, and so forth. So it was out there. And everybody kind of like shuddered in their boots and said, oh, my God, forfeits. We haven't seen those in the NFL since the 1800s. Forfeits. Teams are going to forfeit? Yes, they are going to forfeit because we're not going to allow this to happen. We're not going to allow teams that are careless in terms of their COVID protocols to negatively impact the other teams in the league. Teams have to be responsible. They have to assume that responsibility. If they don't assume that responsibility, they will be punished. Well, here we are. And here you have the Washington franchise, which has hardly been a model franchise, okay, for the last 20 years. I mean, it has done nothing but bring embarrassment and disgrace on the National Football League, on the field, off the field, however you want to view it. The Washington franchise has been an eyesore from ownership all the way down ever since Daniel Snyder bought the team, more than 20 years now. And they are the team that has brought us to this point. And now Roger Goodell bends over backwards to cut him a break at the expense of the Philadelphia Eagles, who have done everything right.
Yes,
on this. I mean,
correct.
The Eagles have been one of the best teams in the league. Mm-hmm. In terms of enforcing the protocols, doing it the right way, you go down to the complex, everybody's masked, everybody's been, all the people on the staff, everybody's been vaccinated. I mean, they have done everything by the book. And now it comes down to the moment of truth. And once again, the commissioner shrinks in the face of it and says, this isn't fair to Washington. Why don't we give them a few days to kind of get all their guys back and give them a chance to play this game. And Philly, just figure it out. You can just figure it out. Well, right, I mean, that's not what real commissioners do. Real commissioners set policy and they stand behind that policy. Unfortunately, the National Football League has a guy that's sitting in the commissioner's office but doesn't function as a commissioner.
First of all, when you do voices, it's always a rare highlight of the show. And second of all, everything you said is spot on. Brilliant. Just to add a few thoughts, the Eagles, as you said, they've been following it right. They currently have one guy, Quez Watkins, in the protocol. But between now and Monday, it's possible the Eagles could have a player test positive or more who will then miss the game, who would have played tomorrow. Can you imagine what it's going to be like here if the Eagles lose a couple players and Washington gets some back for this game? Not fair. Second, it's funny because I posted some thoughts yesterday on social media, and one was about the people going to the game. And I had some people agree with me, but I also had some pushback saying, you know what, tough luck for them. But one group, the NFL, clearly does not consider in this equation is the 70,000 loyal fans who head down to the stadium for these games, who are now going to have to make work accommodations. The game starts at 7. They're going to have to battle rush hour. By the way, there's a Flyers game scheduled to start the same time. That's going to be a party downtown, down South Philadelphia, trying to get down there. These people are going to get home late. It's a 1 o'clock game tomorrow. Now they're going to have to figure out how they're going to get home between 11 and midnight or later on a work night, on a school night. The fans, Ray, get no respect whatsoever. People who live far from the stadium, people who bring kids, they're not even considered in this.
No.
And the NFL kind of gets a win because now they get a chance for one more nationally televised game. Fox, Tuesday night, special game, Eagles, Washington, division battle. Win-win for the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They don't lose. They win.
Yeah, maybe they'll put one of those names on it. Remember the one year when they called it a special Saturday night edition of Monday night? Remember that ridiculous labeling that they had? And they finally realized, but that's stupid. So they dropped it. But you could get that. And the other thing that I was thinking, and my wife said it this morning, I really hadn't thought about this, but she's right. I mean, we're coming into Christmas week. So how many people?
Oh, yeah.
How many people were like Eagles fans that had tickets for this game tomorrow? And then we're planning on Monday to go on a trip.
Yeah, on vacation.
It's Christmas week. Okay, we'll go to the game on Sunday, and then we'll go visit, then we'll go off and visit your Uncle Harry and Aunt Martha, and then we'll celebrate Christmas wherever. But, we'll go to the Eagles game Sunday, and then on Monday we'll leave. Well,
it's
guess
not
what?
Like anybody, right.
Yeah, now that game's gone.
Not like anybody's got plans on December
21st. No, Christmas week. I mean, who could possibly be making plans?
And just one more thing, because, again, the Eagles – are going to have to play Tuesday night, and then they're going to have to play Sunday. Maybe the Sunday night, maybe the Sunday game against the Giants gets pushed to Monday. I don't know, but still, they couldn't have it Monday night. They couldn't put. How about this? Tuesday afternoon to give the Eagles at least another 6 hours to recover from this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it, right?
Because no.
Tuesday night, I don't even know what's on TV Tuesday night, but you know what the best thing is on TV now Tuesday night? This game. And the league wins. The league wins. Washington wins. The Eagles lose. The Eagles fans lose.
Sure. Well, how do you – and you know, Nick Sirianni loses.
And
the
Nick
Eagles,
Sirianni
and the Eagles coaches lose. I mean, how would you like to have been Nick Sirianni yesterday? You've practiced all week. You've been on schedule. You've done your practices. You've done your meetings. It's Friday, okay? It's just a matter of, okay, you know, we got a walkthrough today. We got meetings tomorrow, another one walkthrough, and then we play on Sunday. Oh, what? We got a message from the league? Oh, Tuesday. Okay, now as the head coach, what do I do?
Right, there are restrictions on how many times you can practice,
exactly.
too. I don't know how that figures
exactly.
in.
Exactly, so he's got to get in touch with the Players Association and say, well, are we allowed to practice tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want to practice tomorrow? Do we give the guys off? Do we practice on Monday? No, that's the day before the game. Well, we got to do something. I mean, you're putting this dilemma on a coach and an organization that has played by the rules throughout. It is simply, and I you know, people are going to say, "Oh, you're a Philly guy, you're an Eagle." No, I'm not. I'm just
no. They'll say that with me, but they won't say that with
this.
You.
This is wholly, totally unfair.
Yeah,
totally unfair.
Yep. I want to read you a quote. Marcus Hayes did a very good column on this today in the Inquirer, and he said something, and I was going to say something along the lines, but he said it better than I could, because as we said, it's Sweat who kind of started this thing, Montez Sweat, by saying, I'm not going to get vaccinated. During the summer, Ron Rivera sent in national experts to speak to the team, and afterward, Montez Sweat said, like, nah, I don't know. I need to research it. It's like, that was the research, dummy. But he never did it. And Marcus Hayes wrote a very good line today. I'm just going to read you his paragraph. And by the way, Montez Sweat is likely to return by Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to play. And I'll bet you play well, which is unfair. But here you go. Marcus wrote, look, the Washington football team made its bed. They should lie in it. Call it sloppy adherence. Call it a culture of irresponsibility, call it bad luck, whatever. You don't change the rules for one team or three teams or whatever, especially not for a team as rotten top to bottom as Daniel Snyder's. Nicely said. I agree.
Yeah, well done, Marcus. I mean, that's this would have been, I would have come to the same conclusion regardless of who the team was, you know. But I mean, the fact that it's these guys who have been nothing but a black eye on the National Football League now ever since Daniel Snyder walked through the front door. The fact that you're now making all of these concessions and all of these changes and going back on your word from the summer for the sake of these guys? No, can't be done. I mean, if you had a real commissioner and as opposed to the guy that we have now, what he would have said was, look, no, we're standing by what we said. We stand by what we said this summer. If you can field a team, if you can get your guys together to play on Sunday, and the league has lifted the restrictions on the practice squad now.
The league has tried to make
you
it.
You can activate every one of those guys.
Yep.
And they've been with you all year. They've been on the practice field. You can activate, and you got teams have 15, 16 guys in a practice squad. You can activate all of them. You don't have to put anybody through waivers. You don't have to do any of the procedural stuff. They're good to go, okay? And you get those 16 guys, and you can play them on Sunday. And guess what? If you're still shorthanded, then you forfeit. So you got a choice. You can either activate your practice squad, put as many guys on the field as you can, get up to the limit, line up and play, and take your chances, or you're forfeiting. But those are your two choices. The idea of moving the game, and Roger said back in the summertime, he said, no, we're not rescheduling games.
We're not doing that.
We did it last year. We're not doing that this year. Here are the rules for this year. Everybody's expected to abide by them until they had to.
Yeah, nicely said. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get Bob in Wilmington, see what he thinks about this. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, I've got something to say. I don't know if either one of you saw Cam Hayward's tweet concerning this. I know Goodell signed off on this, but Cam Hayward, a Steeler, was taking a shot at Treader, the player association president.
Right.
Because he's on the Browns.
Plays for the Browns. Who are, I don't want to interrupt you, but let me just set it up. He's the center for the Browns, and they're one of the teams that had its game rescheduled. Right. They were going to play today, and I think now it's Monday.
Yeah, and I don't think Goodell made this decision unilaterally. I mean, he had to go to the Players Association. Listen, I don't like Goodell even a little bit. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I'm just kind of wondering where the input on this came from. And I thought what Hayward said, there was some substance to that.
I agree. I think that you put it right where it is, on Treader, on the Brown Center. I don't disagree.
And Goodell just backed down to the Players Association?
I don't know, he backed down. I think, again, what I said earlier, and thanks, Bob, is for the NFL, it's like a extra bonus game now Tuesday night. So, Ray, let's review, because I know how much you love this.
Mm-hmm.
There was a game Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
There's now still one game today, right?
Yes.
You have a slate of games tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
1 o'clock, 4 o'clock tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Monday night game.
Right.
You have Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, it's the NFL's dream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, game every night. That's where this is headed. And in our lifetime, the NFL will become the NBA, where there will be a game every night. There will. That's where this is headed.
All right, let me tell people what's coming up today. At 11 o'clock today, this week in Philadelphia sports history, we're celebrating a great moment. We're actually going to celebrate it with the guy who made the call of this great moment, Merrill Reese. Is going to join us at 11, Ray.
Very good. Always love having Merrill.
Pardon me?
Always love hearing from Merrill.
Always love to talk to Merrill. At noon, we have Tell Us Your Story. Mike Golick, a very popular guy when he played for the Eagles and a guy who's gone on to a great career after that, will be our guest today for Tell Us Your Story. We're going to do college football preview today. You're going to talk about two quarterbacks playing today
mm-hmm.
that people may want to keep an eye on as potential future picks of the Eagles. We were going to do, normally on Saturday, we do what we're watching. I had announced that we were going to do my favorite TV shows and your favorite movies of the year. Because of this, we're going to hold that off. By the way, Ray, mm-hmm. what this means is 3 bonus hours, you and me tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's that.
And there's that. That's, hey, where would you rather be, Ray?
Oh, I'd rather be hanging out with you for sure.
There you go. So we do tomorrow, and we'll do tomorrow. Ray, my favorite TV shows of the year?
Yes.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. I made a list, and it came out at more than 20. I have my runners up in my top 10. I know you didn't see that many good movies this year because they don't exist.
No, I normally do a top 10, and I had to settle for 5. So yeah. We went in opposite directions on this.
Yeah. All right, so we will do that tomorrow, and we will take your calls today because we know Eagles fans have very strong opinions on this, which may or may not agree with ours, and that's part of the fun. 215-592-9494. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the 1937 Brewing Company, located inside the casino at Delaware Park. IPAs, lagers, seasonal brews, and more. Online at DelawarePark.com.